Hello, everybody. Welcome to the book study call for the month of March. We are wrapping up our book study around the book You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. And today we're going to be diving into this book, talking about the highlights of the book, discussing the book, answering any questions about the book, maybe doing a little coaching. Or group discussion around the book. So I'm going to give you guys a minute or two to come in. And in the meantime, I am just going to introduce myself, just in case not everybody is familiar with me, but welcome. I'd love to get a hi from you in the chat. Let me know where you're from and what you're excited about today. Like, how is everybody doing? So I'm still seeing a few people coming in. I'm gonna also change my name because I am not Corinne Crabtree. Here we go. While I'm changing my name on here and getting us ready to go, make sure you have some water by your side because we're gonna be together for an hour and I wanna make sure that you guys are getting your water in. So let me change this again. I am No BS Coach Yesenia. And I'm so excited to be here with you guys today. I really loved this book. It was such a good one. And I kept seeing in the Facebook group that you guys were really enjoying the book too and getting a lot out of it. I actually thought I hadn't read this yet. But it turns out I have. But I think I read it several years ago, but I don't think it landed with me like it did this time. I've also read her You Are a Badass at Making Money book, and that one was also really good because I used to have a lot of just drama around money, a lot of limiting beliefs around money, and I really got started on breaking all of that down with that book of hers. So I was really excited to read this book and kind of get, I feel like it covers such a good, like, huge foundation around the mental drama that we have in so many areas. Like, she talks a little bit about money, she talks about self-love, she talks around like the big snooze versus like the more conscious brain. So I feel like it's such a good book for those of us who, you know, we do work on thought work in here, like in OBS, and you know, we work on the mental weight loss, but this is so good for just diving into a little bit more of that and just hearing it in a different way and hearing it in just all these different areas. So welcome, everybody. I hope you guys are having a lovely Saturday. Ruth says she's saying hi from Toronto. So welcome. Let me move this up. Hi from New Jersey. Hello, Tamara, Amanda, Nicole. You guys are coming in from all over the place. Joan, Katie, Ruth, Ann. Kendra says, I love this book. I'm excited to dive into it. Tomorrow says, there were so many good things. Ooh. Oh, excuse me, you guys. Sneezed out of nowhere. There were so many good things from this book. I think I went through 5 highlighters and I use a Kindle. That's so funny. So many post-its. Hello, book lovers. Yes, hello. Book nerds unite, right? And I know we have a lot of people in here who are like really getting into reading and audiobooks and stuff too, so I'm just so excited that all of us are here. Like I said, I am an OBS coach, Yesenia, and if just in case you're not as familiar with me, I want to just quickly introduce myself. So I'm Yesenia. I am one of the OBS coaches here inside the membership. If you're a newbie, I don't know if we have as many newbies in this call, but just in case you're a newbie, we are so happy to have you. And one, have you done your plan today? This goes for everybody. Have you done your plan today? Two, if you're a newbie, have you gone through the orientation? And three, have you guys done OBS? Because I know we're going to be focusing on that for the month of April, because we have all of our awesome, lovely newbies coming in, and we have all of our elders and people have been here a little while longer, and we're all going to be going through No BS. I'm going to be going through No BS too. So, and it's already April, it's April 3rd. So it's a great time to go through No BS and just kind of get like resituated with everything in the course, because everything that we talk about inside MoBS comes from that MoBS course. All the bonus courses, all the calls, all the content, all the coaching that we do, it's really based on that, on what Corinne teaches us in there. Valerie says, what book are we discussing? We are discussing the March book, You Are a Badass. So every month we pick a new book, we announce it like a few weeks before, and then the next month we read it, and at the end of the month we discuss it. We just come on here and discuss it, and of course we kind of discuss it and talk about it in the Facebook group as well. So Joan says, yes, newbie, have 1 week of planning already. Awesome job, Joan. When does Everything is Figureoutable start? Great question, Susan. So that just started this. That's the April book. So that it always starts on the first of the month. So that's the April book. So that started on April 1st, but you're never behind. You just jump in whenever you want. It's at your own pace. If you need a few extra days to finish the book, that's okay. Some people jump in like the last week. Some people read the book in 3 days, like however you want to do it. But that's our focus for April, is Everything is Figureoutable by Marie Forleo. Katie says, newbie here. Welcome, Katie. Plan check, orientation check. No BS, halfway through module 2 already. Awesome. I love all of you newbies that are here. You're just jumping into some extra stuff. Of course, like we always have members who they just like to focus on one thing a little bit at a time. And we have members who like to jump into some things. They're more in the middle. And some people were just like, give me the fire hose. I want all of it. So it sounds like we have a few of those newbies here. So I love it. Valerie says, I didn't read that book, but I did start the Figureoutable. So that's perfect. What I want these calls to be is that, like, if you read the book and you want to discuss it, great, like, perfect. And I also want it to be so that if you didn't read the book, but the book sounded interesting and you kind of want to get, like, the gist of it, the highlights, like, give me, like, the quick, like, summary and, like, what did you guys get out of it, like, I want to hear like some of the best content from the book, and, you know, or, you know, maybe I didn't have a chance to finish it, but I read the first few chapters and I enjoyed it. Like, I want it to be a call for anybody, whether you read the book, didn't read the book, like, I'm going to make sure that you get a lot out of this call today, whether you read the book or didn't. Mel says, what's the April book? So the April book is Everything is Figureoutable by Marie Forleo. Let's see. I have so many books on my desk, you guys. This one right here. So we're going to be discussing this one at the end of April. I think the call is on May 1st. So, and you can always find the information, what book it is, the study guide, the date and link for the call, any kind of extras or resources for the book. It's always on the website under, I think now it's under self-study. Let me just look really quick, because we have the Facebook group too, but if you actually want to get any of the materials or find out when the calls are, it's under self-study resources, and then go to No BS Book Studies, and you'll see all of our book studies in there. So, and then you just click on it, and you can download the study guide and everything. Katie says, I read this book 2 years ago. It's awesome. Would love to go through it again with new eyes. Yeah, awesome. That's what we're doing today. So, again, I'm Coach Yesenia. Welcome, everybody. I live in Georgia, about an hour from Atlanta. I'm a single mother with 2 girls, ages 9 and 4 and a half. I have a 4.5-year-old who is very anxious to be 5 already and be at school with her big sister. And I've been having the time of my life lately, just being here inside No BS and getting to coach you guys. So once upon a time, I was a middle school teacher. Did that for a little while, survived, got the gray hair to prove it. And then I was a writer for many years, and I wrote and published several fiction books. And that's when I started to get into like self-development and mindset and productivity and business and just all that whole world. And then I found Corinne, because I was also struggling with my weight loss, and I just loved that she approached it differently than the whole counting calories and everything like that. It was really around like the mindset of food, the mindset of eating and emotional eating, and why are you eating when you're not hungry, and why are you emotionally eating, just all of that. It was perfect. So I jumped in, and then several months into being a member, I went through a separation and divorce, and I was just so grateful that I had found No BS at that time, because it helped me through the hardest time of my life. And during that time, I also realized that I wanted to be a coach, and that I wanted to help people the way I had been helped. And you can still find the coaching call that I did with Corinne when I was going through all of that. And you'll see, it's funny if you watch it, like, you'll see that, like, everything that she's telling me is just going completely over my head. And now I'm a coach. Now I get to, like, do this for a living and help change lives. And I work with several private clients now inside NoBS. I run the book study. And I get to have so much fun helping to change people's lives. So I'm just so grateful to be here. Okay, let's go ahead and dive in. So that was just a little bit about me, in case you're not familiar with me. And every single coach here is just amazing. We all have our own stories. And we just all have in common that we just realized we wanted to help women lose their weight. So it's really, like, just the best. DeLauren says, I'm in Noonan, Georgia. Yeah, so you're not too far. Coach Kara is also not too far from me, so I'm going to have to meet up with her at some point. Awesome. All right, so let's go ahead and dive in to the book. So we're talking about the book, You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. I will say this, for this book, this is a great audiobook to listen to. And for any book study, if you're like, I just don't always have the time to sit down and read a book, like, my schedule, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can always listen to the audiobook too. That counts. And this is a great one because I love her writing style. She's just so fun. She's funny. I like the way she explains things. So it's a great audiobook to listen to. I started listening to it again after I got done reading it, and it's just so good. So I just want to go through, like, some of the highlights of the book and some of the top things. I went back through the Facebook group, and some of the highlights that I found in the book that I wanted to discuss were, of course, some of the same things that you guys loved about the book and gave you the big ahas. So that's what I'm going to do, like, the first part of the call. I'm just going to go through the main points of the book, the main points that I got out of it, that I saw you guys getting out of it, that relates to us as NoBS women. If at any point you want to come on here and just share your favorite part of the book or add to what I was saying or ask a question or just come on here and discuss, go ahead and raise your hand and I'll bring you on here. And this is especially a great call if you've never been on a Zoom call with us and it seems a little scary. And this is a great call because you can just come on here and say hi and just say what you loved about the book. And it's a great way to just kind of dip your toe in the water. So if you would love to come on here and just share what you loved or ask a question about something, just raise your hand. But in the meantime, I'm going to start going through the main points of the book. And then in the second half of the call, if we have anybody that wants to be coached on anything pertaining to the book, we can go ahead and do that too. So be thinking about that. If you know you have questions, insights, ahas, if you want to get coached, if you were reading it and something came up for you, or if you have a question about how it ties to your weight loss or anything like that, be thinking about that. Be ready so that you can raise your hand. And then we also have the Q&A. So I'll keep an eye on the Q&A too. We already have one question in there. I'll keep an eye on the Q&A. So in case you're driving or you just don't want to come on, you can also put in your questions, insights, ahas, favorite parts of the book, or anything that you want to get coached on in there. And I'll come back to that. So Stacey says, I have this one on audio. I've listened to it numerous times. Yeah, it's a good one. Rhonda says she's in Macon. That's awesome. I can't wait until we start doing, like, meetups again, because it sounds like we have a lot of Georgia peeps in here. So it's awesome. Okay. So probably the main part of the book that I really liked for us, especially, is that she talks about the big snooze versus the conscious brain. And of course we talk about that in here inside of the membership. We talk about the habit brain. We call it the habit brain. She calls it the big snooze. And then she talks about the conscious brain. We usually call it, like, the higher brain. So especially if you're a newbie or if you've heard us discuss, like, the think, feel, do cycle or, you know, the habit brain, but you've never really quite gotten it or you want to hear it again, this is great. So that's what I loved about the book, that she talks about that. Sometimes it's good to hear it in a different way. So you have your brain, right? You have, like, the front part of your brain is, like, the conscious brain. All of your, like, higher level thinking happens in your higher brain. She calls it the conscious brain. Other people sometimes call it, like, the The more scientific word for it is the prefrontal cortex. So it's all the same thing. Your brain has two parts. That first part over here is the prefrontal cortex, the conscious brain, the higher brain. And it just does that higher level thinking. It does, you know, it has your best interests in mind, your long-term goals in mind. It thinks more like long-term and what you actually want versus more of like the immediate gratification, fear kind of thinking. The other part of your brain, it's more in the back, it's called the subconscious brain, or she calls it the big snooze. And here we usually call it the habit brain. So both parts of the brain are very useful. They both have a very important purpose. You need both. And most animals, like all animals, just have the habit brain, right? They just rely on their instincts. They don't really have that longer term, higher level thinking like humans do. So as humans, we have both. We have the habit brain. We have the higher level, higher brain that helps us think about our best interests, what we want, and just beyond like immediate needs right now. So they're both useful. They both have a very important purpose. For the higher brain, it's to think about what you really want and think about more complex things and ideas and goals and, you know, just all of that, right? It helps you create these things in life and have that higher level, more complex thinking. We need that. We need that. It's how we've been able to do so many incredible things as humans, right? And then the habit brain, it also has a very important purpose. I know a lot of us think about the habit brain and we just think about like how hard it makes our weight loss because we get an urge and we want this. And, you know, it's where all of your fear comes from of like thinking you're not going to be able to lose your weight and the doubt and all of that. But this part of the brain is very useful because it keeps you alive. Its main job is to keep you alive. And it was very important that it did that a long time ago when we were still living out in the wild as tribes, hunting down animals and gathering food and stuff like that is very important. We don't need it as much anymore, but of course the habit brain still thinks that we are in danger. We could die. So that's its main job. It has three goals really. One, avoid danger, avoid anything risky that could make us die. And it can't always tell the difference between like, you know, walking home alone at night danger, like very real physical danger, and like public speaking danger. Like it kind of feels the same to the habit brain. It just feels very scary. We could die. We should not do that. The other thing is that it likes to seek pleasure. It's very rewards focused. It's fear driven and it's reward focused. And so that's why sometimes we get those strong urges because it knows it's going to get a nice little reward or it just avoids something because it feels scary. And it also is great because that's where we call it the habit brain because that's where it helps us form habits. It's very good at forming habits. It's not always a habit we want. But it's very good at forming habits and just making things more efficient so we don't have to think about things all the time. It just makes it a habit. Like if you were to look back at your day, you probably have like hundreds of habits and your habit brain has allowed you to do that. So you don't have to think about it anymore and it saves energy because your brain actually consumes a lot of energy. It consumes most of the calories that you eat. It goes towards just helping the brain operate and do everything that it needs to do. And it just likes to save energy and make things more efficient. So that's kind of like a little rundown on the human brain, the conscious brain versus the habit brain. Again, she calls it the big snooze. And I like that she calls it the big snooze because it's like, you want to wake up. You want to wake up and let the higher brain take charge. Most of us, the subconscious brain, the big snooze, the habit brain, we've let it been in charge, but we didn't even know, right? Like we go to school, no one really explains these things to us. And so for a lot of people and for us for a long time, like the big snooze was in charge. The habit brain was in charge when we made decisions, you know, in the moment. And But I like that she talks about it because it's like you want to wake up from that. You want to allow the higher brain to take charge. And she says, your conscious brain thinks it's in charge, but it's not. The subconscious brain is in charge. And the subconscious brain, all of its patterns and things are formed from, like, that blueprint for it was created as you were growing up, especially like in your childhood, what you saw from your parents, what you saw from those around you, what you saw like on TV or in school or your friends. It learned a lot of it, got a lot of its beliefs and patterns from that. And so that's where a lot of like our fear and doubt comes from. If your parents were always fighting around money and now you have a lot of limiting beliefs around money, like that's where that came from. Like it makes sense because your brain, especially when you're little and you're growing up, it's always paying attention, interpreting things, learning things, like realizing like, oh, that's how that works. But then as we grow up, like, you know, sometimes the brain got it wrong. Sometimes like that wasn't helpful. Like now we can let it go because it's not helpful to us now. And then that's not really how it works, actually. Does that make sense? For a lot of us, we picked up at some point that weight loss is hard. That weight loss is really hard. It's supposed to be hard. You're supposed to suffer through it, or that you're always going to be at this weight. But that's sometimes I call it a glitch. Like it learned it, but it's not actually true. Like the brain thinks it's true, but that's it's possible to change that. It's possible to let that habit brain belief go, even though it feels very true because it learned it, you know, a long time ago. Okay. So there's just a lot of beliefs like that that we have in our habit brain. It could be around weight loss, marriage, money, anything like that. Like the big one that a lot of us learn, especially as women, is like the whole like Prince Charming, happily ever after kind of belief, right? I know I had that one because all of a sudden I was like divorced and single, and your brain wants to tell you like, oh, like you can't be happy until you, you know, get married, find your person, live happily ever after. When it's like, took me a while to like break down that belief and realize like being single doesn't have to equal being unhappy. Like I could be happy being single. I could be really happy being single. Versus in the beginning, I was very scared about the idea, the possibility that I could be single for a while because, you know, maybe I'd be missing out or blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just interesting to see the things that you've picked up growing up that are in your habit brain. But the good thing is, like, you can be aware of it and you can change it. So that brings me to the next thing that was in the book. She says, if your current life isn't working for you, it's time to change things up. She has so many like mic drop moments, like truth bombs in the book. There are so many good ones. That was one of them. She says, if your current life isn't working for you, it's time to change things up. You need to go from wanting to change your life to deciding to change your life. Like, let me say that again. You need to go from wanting to change your life to deciding, like deciding, taking action on it, doing something, trying something. Another thing she says, it's not your fault if you're fucked up, but it is your fault if you stay fucked up. And it's easy to read that and think like, oh, like it feels kind of blamey, but it's not. It's not blamey at all. What I think what she means is that it's 100% within your power to change who you are. Like, a lot of times, you know, when you're growing up, there's so much that's not in your control. You're a child. You don't know what's going on. Sometimes your parents are just doing the best they know how. You might have gone through trauma. You might have gone through really difficult things. And you don't even know how to deal with those things growing up. Like your brain is just very young. It doesn't know how to deal with things. It doesn't have the emotional maturity and capacity to deal with things. And so sometimes we do end up a little fucked up, right? But at some point, you have the power to change that. You grow up, you start to learn things, you start to see how things can really be, and you have the power to change who you are. You have the power to change your circumstances in your life, and you have the power and control to change how you think and feel on a daily basis. And create the kind of life that you do want. And so I think that's actually like a very like just liberating sentence. Another thing that she says is what you choose to focus on becomes your reality. We definitely learned that in here, right? And no BS, we learn about the mental weight loss. If you're always scared that you can't lose weight, that's the result that you'll end up creating for yourself. So we kind of know that. We know that if we show up from like fear and doubt and maybe I can't do it, we kind of end up creating that same exact result that we're afraid of. And I also wanted to talk about how sometimes it's not in those big, obvious, dramatic ways. Sometimes we catch those big, obvious thoughts like, I'm just never going to be able to do it, right? But sometimes a lot of us, I realized this after I started like listening to my thoughts. I've never really even listened to my own mind before. I just knew that sometimes I didn't feel good. Like I just knew that my emotions felt negative, but I didn't really know why. And so then, I started doing more thought work. I started journaling. Then all of a sudden I started hearing. It was like this low key kind of buzzing in my mind of just kind of negative thoughts. Because even like, before I started losing weight and before, like I know a lot of us here in the membership have struggled with a lot of like self-loathing and shame and things like that. And I never really had experienced a ton of that. Like for the most part, I was confident, or I didn't hate myself. I didn't love myself. Like, I just sometimes didn't like myself or how I looked. But all of a sudden, I noticed that I was having a lot of just of those quieter, disliking kind of thoughts, either about myself, about people around me, worry, stress. And so I thought it would be good to talk about that here. Like, all of those kind of quieter thoughts, those count too. Like we need to be aware of those too. Those quieter thoughts that like if sometimes you're not even if you don't really pay attention to them, you don't even catch them in the moment. Sometimes how I notice it is I just feel like a little pit in my stomach. And I just if I notice that little just little pit in my stomach, I first of all I get good at noticing it and then I just ask myself why, like what's going on. And sometimes it takes me a few minutes just to realize what that little niggly, quiet, buzzing thought is. But then I do get to it, which is it could be anything like, oh, I overeat again, or like I'm probably not gonna lose weight this week. Like, just there's so much to do, or there's just not enough time, or like I just wish this, or just those kind of smaller little thoughts. But all of those thoughts count too, because under the surface, your brain is focusing on those, and then that's why later on you're reaching for like the extra few bites, or the off-plan eat, or the nighttime eat. And so, if you notice the same thing is happening for you, I would say, like, here's what you can do for it. Just kind of remind yourself, first of all, make sure you're journaling so that you get better at either catching them on paper. And then, as you get better at seeing them on the paper, you're going to get better at catching them whenever they're happening in your mind and just being able to listen more. And just kind of remind yourself that, like, I'm always figuring it out. Even if sometimes it feels hard to jump to, like, of course I can lose my weight, I can do anything, but at least tell yourself, like, I'm always figuring it out. And that applies to just about anything. Like, I'm just always figuring it out. I'm choosing to trust the process, versus like just letting those little fearful, doubtful thoughts just kind of, if you notice it, those little thoughts are coming from fear and doubt, and that's what your reality will be. And just kind of notice it and tell yourself, I'm always figuring it out, or it's okay. Amanda says, I've had that. I always referred to it as I have the blahs today, but never really delved into what brought on the uns. Yeah, it's like an unsettled feeling. Now I challenge myself to name the feeling specifically or to find the thought that I'm thinking. Yeah, I do the same thing. The next thing, the next quote that I loved in the book, she says, if you're serious about changing your life, you'll find a way. And if not, you'll find an excuse. I saw that a lot of you guys loved that quote. If you're serious about changing your life, you'll find a way. And if not, you'll find an excuse. And sometimes, you know, the coaches, we see this when we work with clients, whether it's on these group coaching calls or with our private clients. It's kind of funny once you think about it, but sometimes like we argue for our own limitations. And I know we kind of talked about that in The Big Leap. He talks about that, like arguing for your own limitations. Like sometimes we do that, right? Sometimes like, you know, you start explaining all the reasons why it's hard or why you can't or why you've been struggling. And that's a part of that. That's a part of like finding an excuse. Sometimes it can be subtle, right? Like, oh, it's so hard, or like I had a really hard day, or there was no time. But like, it's easy to find an excuse, right? You can always find an excuse. And that's fine. We're human. We do that sometimes. We just get good at catching it, catching when your brain wants to make an excuse. And then just shifting, like, oh yeah, I don't make excuses anymore. I've decided I'm going to change my life. This is me recommitting to myself. That's what I did recently. I've recommitted to myself and some of my habits that had gone down a little bit. Like in the month of March, like I gained a few pounds. Remember in the beginning of the month, my kids got sick. I got sick. And then my grandfather passed away. And so I decided to fly out, and I was gone for a few days, and then just the travel and eating differently, but like I can tell myself all these things, right? And I gained a few pounds, and I came back and I'm like, all right, like I'm ready to recommit to myself. Like I've gained 5 pounds. That's okay. I refuse to like beat myself up for it. I know why it happened. These are the reasons. This is what I was telling myself, and I'm ready to recommit to myself. Let me make a little list of the 2-3 things I'm willing to do to get back to where I want to be. And this is why I want to lose those 5 pounds. Cause I know like, I look better. I feel better. Like I know that like, I don't want to be someone who gives her body too much food. I know like there are still areas, like it doesn't even matter what the number is. I know I've been overeating, and that's something that I want to work on regardless of what the scale is telling me. So I recommitted to myself. Like she says, if you want to change your life, if you want to lose your weight, you're going to find a way. You're going to use your resources. You're going to ask for help. You're going to recommit. You're going to start with your next best decision. And if not, you'll find an excuse. Okay, let me check out the comments really quick. I saw a few come in while I was talking. Yeah, you guys are having some great chat in the comments. I'll come back to it in a minute. Let me keep going. So the next quote in the book that I really loved was, oh my gosh, this is probably my favorite one. And I know that a lot of you guys loved this one too. It's so good. So often we pretend we've made a decision when what we've really done is to try until it gets too uncomfortable. Let me say that one again for the people in the back. So often we pretend we've made a decision when what we've really done is decide to try until it gets too uncomfortable. I know I've coached a lot on this, and I've coached myself a lot on this one, right? Like sometimes we just don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable, but you know, it's like I say, like the little bubble of discomfort is where all the awesome shit happens. The discomfort isn't always fun in the moment, but it ends up being worth it because that's where you grow. That's where you end up hitting a new low weight. That's where you end up like learning something new. That's where you end up failing fabulously and getting something out of it. Like learning to love yourself through any fail, right? Like, so I feel like that whole book was just worth that one quote alone. Like all of us are here because we want to lose our physical and mental weight. We want to become a version of ourselves that we've never been before. We want to lose our weight. We want to like learn how to love ourselves and not feel like shit anymore, inside or out. So go ahead and commit to it and decide that you're going to do it no matter what. Not just until like, oh, let me stop at this number because I don't know if I'm like ready to give up my nighttime eats. I don't know about like, why not keep going? Why not dive into the discomfort and see what happens? Like, so much is possible for you. So much can happen, especially with your weight loss, when you're willing to be just a little bit uncomfortable. And so many of us don't even realize this, that we only commit if we're comfortable. But if, you know, so much of the awesome shit that we can do in life, it requires being a little uncomfortable. Like Corinne being able to create this amazing membership, it's fucking awesome, right? But I'm pretty sure there were many uncomfortable moments for her getting here. And I know it because I've heard her talk about it, right? But it's, she was still committed to it no matter what. And that's why we're here. Because she was willing to be uncomfortable and fail countless times, I'm sure. The next thing she says is, the only failure is quitting. Everything else is just gathering information. I love that quote so much. Like I tell this to my private clients all the time, because sometimes they want to come on and just be like, you know, I gained this week and this happened and I had so many ovaries and blah, blah, blah. Like, and they just feel terrible about it. And I'm like, it's great. You learned. What did you learn? Tell me. Like, what information did you gather? What did, you know, like, every time I overeat or I off-plan eat, like, I do my discovery worksheet and, like, I know I'm learning from it. And every time I'm learning, like, it's awesome. So if you're a newbie, welcome, because we have a very different philosophy around failing around here. Like, we lose our weight by failing the whole way down. We just fail the whole way down. There's always going to be failure. Even when you get to goal weight, you're still going to be failing. I still remember the specific moment when I was a member and I heard Corinne say that she had had an ovary. And I was like, wait, what? Corinne still has ovaries? Like, I thought once you got to goal weight, like, you just, that didn't happen anymore. Like, I remember it hitting me like, oh, I'm always going to have ovaries. I'm always going to, like, be doing discovery worksheets, and that's okay. That's just a part of like being human. Like, so you're just always gonna have failures, so I may as well get comfortable with them and learn to see them as like awesome things that help you learn and grow, versus like this terrible thing. It's just like you're learning from it. And then the last thing that I wrote down as the top, one of the top highlights from the book, and this one made me laugh because I saw you guys talking about it in the group too, about self-love. And I remember somebody was like, are you guys noticing that she's like talking about self-love at the end of every chapter? And that just made me laugh. And I remember you guys were like talking about how like everywhere, like every book we've read and No BS, we have a whole course around self-love. We're always talking about self-love. And you guys were just like, are you guys noticing that like we're always talking about self-love in here? Like, so that just made me laugh because I probably used to be like that too. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, self-love. Yeah, I love myself. But I mean, I liked myself, but now I can say like, yeah, like I really love myself and I see how important it is. So what I wanted to say was like, guys, we talk about self-love and you saw it in every chapter of this book, and we have a whole course around it. And Corinne will like always, all of us here, we're always going to be talking about self-love for a reason. Like there's a very important reason that we're always talking about it. And it's because it's the key. Like it really is the key to just help, like, how we're supposed to, or I don't know, I don't even know how to explain it. Like self-love is just everything. Like it's just everything. Like it's the key to your weight loss. It's the key to like working on the shame and the self-loathing and It's the key to like learning how to love other people. It's just, it's everything. Like, it's just, we talk about it everywhere for a reason, because it really is that important. And it can be a little bit hard to understand at first and be like, all right, what's the big deal with self-love? But it's important for a reason. Because once you can learn to love yourself, like, there's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you can't handle. And like, life just becomes so much more, like, so much more awesome when you just love yourself. And you can, once you love yourself, it's like, now you have this awesome lens through which you can see the world. You can see the whole world through love. So I love her quote that she had around love. She said, you are loved massively, ferociously, unconditionally. Like, you just are. You're just loved. You're just always worthy of love. And it really starts with you, you know, learning how to love yourself. Once you figure that out, like, there's so much that doesn't serve you that you can just release and let go of. And then she also has like a few other books in the series. Like, this is the first one that she wrote. Several of you guys were saying that you were reading You Are a Badass Every Day. And I think it's like Daily Affirmations or something like that. So that's on my list of books to read too. I would definitely want to read that one. I haven't read that one yet. And then she also has the You Are a Badass at Making Money. That one was a really good one too. So if you're interested in those, you can go grab those. And then, so, like, if you like to listen to podcasts, sometimes what I do, if I read a really good book or if I hear an interview and I really like the person, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to learn more about them and what else they have to say. I know she's done a ton of interviews. So just whatever like podcast app you use, or if you have like Spotify, you can just type her name into the search bar and you'll have a lot of like interviews and things come up that she's done. So if you just search Jen Sincero, you'll see a lot of interviews pop up that she's done on different podcasts. So little hack if you want to like listen to more of what she has to say. Awesome. Okay, so now let me see if there are any hands raised. I don't think I see any hands raised right now. If you want to get coached on anything related to the book, if you just want to share a favorite quote that you didn't hear me talk about, or if you have a question or an insight to share, or if you had something that, you know, like, oh, I tied this back to the weight loss, anything like that, go ahead and raise your hand or put it in the Q&A, and I'll make sure that we either bring you on here or that we talk about it. So let me go ahead and see what's in the Q&A now. So Amanda says, a recurring question I've had and I've seen the others have is, when writing goals, should we write I want to weigh or I weigh? On page 95, really all of chapter 11, she seems to suggest that the better framing is I weigh. Can you talk a little about that or what you do? This is a great question. And I think depending on who you ask, you're going to get different answers for it and different reasons. Some people say like, yeah, you should do it kind of like in the present tense, to like train your brain and, help it think that it's already there. And so that you start showing up that way. So that's like one approach. And then some people are like, well, no, because the brain isn't going to believe that, blah, blah, blah. So I would try it both ways and see which one you like more. I think it's also important to think about why. Like, I know we talk about our compelling why is in here, and I think even the why is more important than, you know, how you frame it. I also think it's important to, because the I weigh whatever amount, that's really like the result that you want to create, which is great, which is fine. Like, that's the result that you want to create, is like a certain number on the scale or a certain size jean or whatever it is, a certain amount of money, like any kind of goal or result like that is fine. I also think it's good to think about like, okay, I want to weigh 140 pounds. That's my goal. The version of me who is already there, she's already achieved it. She's gotten there. She figured it out. How is she thinking? Like, what are her top three thoughts that worked for her to get there? Like, That's what I think about a lot too. Like, I think that's even more important to consider. Like, what are the thoughts that are going to help you create this result? If I were already at this weight, how would I be feeling? What do I think this number or this goal is going to give me? Like, I would do some journaling on that, and that'll help bring out some of the thinking that you need to work on, because any result that you want to create in your life, any goal that you want to reach, it's created by your thinking, right? We talk about the think, feel, do cycle in module 2 of No BS. You have your thinking drives a feeling, which creates an action, like a do, what you do or what you don't do. And then your do, like your actions or non-actions, they end up creating a result in your life. They create something in your life. And so that result is the weight that you want to be at. So the thinking is what's going to create it. So I would be thinking like, yeah, how does she think? How does the version of me who got there, how does she think about food? Like, if you're struggling with Friday night eats and wine, how does she think about that? Without it being like, oh, she just never does it anymore. Like, she probably still likes to enjoy a glass of wine on a Friday night, but how is she thinking about it? How has it shifted that now she's not like over drinking, she's not overeating on Friday night, but she's still enjoying it, she's still eating it to enough? What has she learned and what has she thought that now she's doing it to enough? So that's what I would think about for that. I know Corinne also did a Thinking Like the Future You class. And she talks about the 3-2-1 morning method. So that might be helpful for you too, Amanda. It's called Thinking Like the Future You. If you go to the website and search under the replays, you'll find it. And it might help if you hear Corinne talk about, like, she breaks down how she sets goals and thinks ahead to the future and stuff like that. But that's a great question. Torpe says, I recently realized I have been settling for a better life rather than realizing and working at having my best life. I think it is one of the reasons my commitment to losing, etc., comes and goes. She talks about taking life wherever we want. Advice on expecting the best for myself and not settling. Okay, let me read this one more time. Settling for better life. Okay. So I would start by like getting clear and doing some journaling on what kind of life you do want for yourself. So like, it's like, this is good information to have. Like, now you know, like you want a different kind of life. Like, you've been creating this life for yourself and you realize like you want something else. So it's good information to have. Now I would just think about like, what do you want? If nothing held you back and there was like no limitations, what kind of life would you just want to create for yourself? And I would start there, like just get clear on what you do want. And once you get clear on what you want, like then you can start to work on it. You can start to break it down. Like if you realize you want to start a business, like you can think about like what kind of business you've always wanted to create and how could I even like get started working on that. Like, it might take me a little while, I might need to learn some things, but once you know what you want, you can at least start breaking it down and start taking like one step towards it, and you know, and creating that for yourself and getting fulfillment out of that, you know. And I also wouldn't say like, because you said it's one of the reasons my commitment to losing, et cetera, comes and goes. Like, I wouldn't say that. Like, don't let that be a reason that your commitment to losing weight comes and goes. Like, that commitment can just always stay if you wanted to. Like, what would I need to think to just always feel committed? Like, why am I not always committed? Why does it come and go sometimes? Like, what's going on there that, you know, maybe sometimes I'm showing up and sometimes I'm not? Like, that's just the thought that's creating that think, feel, do cycle of sometimes you show up, sometimes you don't. Like, what's going on there? Or are you just thinking about it that way and you could just sometimes we like the way we describe things, we think we're just making an observation, and really that's just how you're choosing to describe it. Okay, so to be clear, I think it's mostly weight loss related. I feel so much better down 50, but I can really, can I really be 100 down? Okay. Can I really be 100 down? Anytime your brain asks you a question, so this goes for everybody here, because I, you know, you guys, we all do this a lot. The human brain just likes to ask questions, right? It's very important that you answer them. So I would get out a sheet of paper, write down what you just said. Can I really be 100 pounds down? What is your answer to that right now? And is that the answer you want to have? Like, why couldn't you be 100 pounds down? Like, is there any reason that you couldn't? Like, that might be a little bit of the habit brain and that fear and doubt coming in, which is fine. We're human. That happens sometimes. And I would just reassure myself, like, there's really no reason that I can't be 100 pounds down. She says, I believe I can, but I'm settling since I already feel better. That's interesting. I mean, I wouldn't see it as settling at all. I'm down about 20, 25 pounds and I feel better, and I don't see it as settling at all. Like, I know I still want to lose a little bit more weight, and I'm allowed to feel awesome right now, exactly where I am. And I do. Like, I feel great. I love my body where I am now, and I know there's still some overeating I want to clean up. So, I mean, I wouldn't choose to see it as settling at all. Are you settling? Like, is that even true? Do you want to keep losing more weight? I guess I would love to know that, Torpe. Like, do you want to lose a little more weight, or have you decided you want to stop there? I would say just get clear on your reasons why. Like, are you actually settling? Like, if you've decided to stay at that weight, that's great. Just love your reasons. And if you've decided that you want to keep going, that's great. You're allowed to love where you are and keep going a little bit more. Either way. So let me know if you have any more information for your question, but I don't think you have to see it as settling at all. Like, you're allowed to love where you are and be super proud of your 50 pounds down and the size that you're at, and your clothes fit better, and you maybe you have more energy, and that's great. And if you want to keep going, you get to keep going. And if you don't, you get to choose whatever number you want to be at. There's no right or wrong number. You just get to choose. There's a reason that we don't tell you guys, like, oh, like, you know, if you're 5'3", you need to be in this little range, and if you're 5'8", you need to be, like, we all just get to choose. We are grown-ass women. You get to choose whatever your goal weight number is. And some people say, like, oh, like, my goal is 100 pounds, and then they get to, like, 85, and they're like, you know what, like, I actually love it here. Like, I feel great. I love how my clothes are fitting me. Like, I've cleaned up, like, my overeats. Like, you know, I'm in the 90% for my habit tracker and my following my plan and my doable hunger method. Like, I feel great. Like, I thought I was going to lose 100, but it turns out 85 is perfect for me. This is where I want to be. Okay, we have a few more minutes. I still don't think I see any hands. That's fine, you guys. We can always just kind of hang out in the chat or in the Q&A. Yeah, so Torpe says, I guess it really is just actually loving myself here. A new concept. I love it. Yay. Yes. Like, it doesn't have to be settling at all. You get to just love it there. That's perfect. I love that. I love that you, like, came to that realization and that I was able to help you with that. Okay. Let me see if there's any stuff going on in the chat. If you guys have any other questions related to the book, or related to your basics, you're a newbie, like, we have a few more minutes, guys, so Q&A is open, chat is open, you can raise your hand, I promise I don't bite, and I'm sure a lot of you guys are just kind of, like, chilling, enjoying the call, listening, that's cool, too. Lainey says, now I really want to listen to this book. Yeah, it's a good one. I really like it. It's called You Are a Badass, and, of course, she has the money book and the You Are a Badass Every Day, like, I love her writing style. Deanna says, self-sabotage. How does that connect with this book, which seems to be about belief? It's a great question. So self-sabotage comes from that place of like fear and doubt. And we kind of talked about it a little bit with The Big Leap, the book, The Big Leap, and how we have like this internal thermostat of like, oh, we've always weighed this much, and this is who we are, and this is where we're supposed to be, this is where we've always been, and it would be weird or scary or shocking to like be at this different, like, so I think that's a part of it. It's like those limiting beliefs that's coming from fear and doubt and how we think we're supposed to be, and sometimes we self-sabotage to prove that true, or we think it's scary. Or we think like, if I lose weight, then this. If I lose weight, then, you know, my friends are going to think I'm better than them. Or if I lose weight, then, you know, people are going to pay more attention to me. So it's the self-sabotage. It's an action that we do or don't do as a result of some kind of thought or belief. So we have strategies and tools that we teach you guys around that. And then it's also just dealing with like, what's the cause of it? And, you know, Corinne is going to be talking all about self-sabotage at May Camp. And I know we have a course on it right now. So just know that self-sabotage, it's coming from some kind of core fear or doubt about yourself or what's going to happen if you lose weight. So I would just get very curious, like, what do I think is going to happen if I lose weight? Or is there something about my weight loss that I think I can't do, or it's going to be hard? Or I would just get curious on it. Where do you think it's coming from? Once you know it, you can like work on it. You can remind yourself, and I know it's not true, or, and I know it feels true, but it's not true. Let me know if you have any other questions about that, Deanna. But that's where that's coming from. It's like the fear and doubt. Pam says, she kept referencing love yourself. Why is it so hard for me to just love myself? I love this comment, Pam, because I think a lot of us have this same question. Like, why is it so hard for me to just love myself? And I think it's great that you're asking this question, right? Because you're just asking for help and you're just trying to figure it out. I also want to tell you that sometimes like some questions just, like a question like this is just never going to give you a helpful answer. Like it's just going to give you the kind of answer that makes you feel shitty about yourself. Like you're just going to have some kind of a shitty reason why it's been so hard for you to love yourself. So even though your brain is just wanting to ask that question, just sometimes there are questions that are just not going to produce a very helpful answer for you. And instead, I would tell myself, like, I'm figuring out how to love myself. Like, I'm figuring it out. Like, who knows why? But I'm figuring it out. I don't need to know why. I just know I'm figuring it out. You know, it's okay that it's felt hard before, and I'm figuring it out. So, like, it feels hard sometimes, and that's okay. I'm still figuring, like, I would just reassure yourself, I'm always just figuring it out. Sometimes it does feel hard, and that's okay. I'm figuring it out. I'm working on it. Yeah. Just keep an eye on, like, it's great when your brain asks a question, but there's a few questions like that one that they're not helpful. Like they're not going to give you a helpful answer. You can just decide, like, it's okay. It's felt hard before. I've never known how to do it before, but now I'm figuring it out. It's one of my favorite like go-tos. I'm always figuring it out. I've realized that I'm creating results I don't want because I don't believe it will happen, or I fear it will happen. That's so interesting, right? I don't believe it will happen. And I would just tell myself, like, but we don't know. Like, but we don't even know, right? Let's just see. Because we don't even know. Like, if you're already fearing it might not happen, like, oh, it might not happen. It might. You don't know. Like, let's just find out. Like your brain is always going to just have those little fearful thoughts, and that's okay. You can still go for it anyway. You can still show up anyway. That's a part of that little bit of discomfort, like showing up with a little bit of discomfort. Sometimes it's this. Sometimes it's those little thoughts. You feel the pit in your stomach of like, what if I can't do it? Or, you know, what if I do it and then like something bad happens? Like, and it's okay. And I'm going to show up anyway. I'm just going to show up anyway, because I know I want this and I know that I'll always figure it out. So I think the fear is I won't be able to blame my weight for my problems anymore. This is so good, Deanna. I think the fear is I won't be able to blame my weight for my problems anymore. Here's what I want to tell you. Why do you have to blame anything at all? Maybe blame is not necessary. Like maybe that's what this is teaching you. Sometimes I say this, sometimes like we're struggling with these same few pounds. Sometimes it's because there's something there to be learned. There's something there that we haven't learned yet. And maybe for you, Deanna, it's that like, maybe you're just not going to blame anything or anyone anymore. Like no more blaming yourself. Just, it's not a helpful thing to blame yourself, right? It's not a helpful thing to blame your weight. Like maybe there's no blame needed here at all. Shops a lot says, do you have any idea what the format is for tomorrow's camp call? I will still have Easter guests, but I'm wondering if I can pop in an earbud. I thought Corinne mentioned breakout rooms and we're never. Okay, yeah, good question. So I do know what the format for that is. So for any people going to camp, there's like a bonus co-planning session call tomorrow on Zoom. And so I know everybody's going to come in with Coach MJ, and then she is going to send you into smaller little breakout rooms where you guys are supposed to work together and just kind of plan things. So I would say it's better if you can actually like be there and like have your planner and be able to work on things. I mean, you could always just jump in and be like, hey guys, I'm just going to be muted and my video off because I really just want to listen in. So you could kind of just give them a heads up and be like, I'm not really going to be participating. I just want to listen. So you could do that, but that is the format that, you know, we're going into small breakout rooms so that you can plan, talk, and hang out and plan together, learn from each other. Lainey, the replay about Corinne talking about setting goals, it's called Thinking Like the Future You. That's what that one is. I'm just going to finish going through these. I've been working for a while on reframing my thoughts and comments when I start with negative self-talk. Sometimes I stop mid-sentence to reframe what I was about to say. Like I used to say, I'm a disaster. It's been a year. Now I stop and say, I'm having a bad day, or this is a yeah. Yeah. Sometimes my clients do that too, right? Like they kind of catch themselves in the middle of the sentence and they like go back and like reword it. That's perfect. You're learning. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Deanna, blame is not necessary. My problems are often caused by my thoughts. Yeah, awesome. I'm so glad I was able to help you guys. Thank you guys so much for coming on. Our April book is Everything is Figureoutable, which is this book. And it's also a really good one. I just love because I know a lot of you guys on here have that little niggling fear that like maybe I can't lose my weight. And I feel like this is such a helpful book for it. Even if you kind of just listen to it or read the first few chapters, like it's really, really good for that. Like literally everything is figureoutable. And the way she talks about that and breaks it down, like it even kind of helped me, right? With just any kind of limiting belief you might have around your weight loss or anything like that. I think it's such a great concept because it's not one of those like unicorn pie in the sky thoughts. It's just everything is figureoutable. So I love it. So we're going to be talking about that at the end of April. And then in May, and remember, we're all doing No BS in April together. So that's going to be great. And then in May, we're going to be doing Atomic Habits. So I know we've kind of, a lot of people in the membership have already read this book. And you might be like, oh, but I've already read it. Like, read it again. Like, I've read this one like probably a couple times. And I feel like I'm reading it for the first time again, just because like now that I've grown so much and learned a lot and everything like that. Like, I'm getting so much more out of it again. Like, I got a lot out of it the first time, and I'm getting even more out of it this time. So this one is such a good book to read. Like, such a good book. So much, like, good stuff in here. I think it's definitely worth the reread. Or if you're considering, you're like, oh, I don't know if I should read that book. Like, I think this is such a good read. Like, I'm highlighting a lot in here, having a lot of ahas, even though I've read it before and I'm a coach. Like, it's really, really good. So I'm looking forward to doing that one with you guys in May. So yeah, no problem. I'm seeing a lot of thank yous on the call. This is so exciting and so good. I'm glad that we were able to come on here and just, you know, go over the book and relate it back to our weight loss and everything. I'm so glad, you guys. Thank you guys for being here. Awesome. Thank you guys. Bert says that I've already read Atomic Habits, but we'll reread it. It would be nice to read. Yeah, it's a perfect one to revisit, especially since you're going to have just finished No BS. I think they complement each other so well. Like, you're going to do No BS in April, which I'm just going to start listening to it on the Private Member Podcast. And then the next month you're going to do Atomic Habits. Like, I feel like they go so well hand in hand. So you guys are going to get so much out of that. All right, you guys, thank you guys so much. If you have any questions, drop them in the Facebook group and I'll be around. And I can't wait to hear what you guys think about Everything Is Figureoutable. So we'll be talking about that in just a few weeks. Thank you guys so much for coming. I'll see you soon. Bye.